And good morning and welcome to LaPorte Church of Christ. It is April 26th, 2026. We welcome you folks out here. We thank you, those that you that join us here in person and those that join us through the internet and through DVD Church. We say, hope you're having a good and blessed day. The message that we just had by Pastor Peters was, the second message was, Bible Food Laws Part 2. And we continued on. That was I wasn't planning on playing part two. Didn't know if I was going to be able to find it. And got several emails of people that said, "Hey, that was a part two, and there's a part two to that message. Is there any way you can play that next week?" And I didn't think I was going to be able to. It was I had spent hours and hours trying to find another copy of that message. And I had one copy, but it was damaged. And couldn't get it to play, and I didn't think it was going to work as well as it did, and you might be able to see it or notice it if you watch that video, but there was a couple little breaks in there, and that's where that video cassette had been just cracked and brittle, and a little bit of Scotch tape, taping it back together, actually worked pretty darn good. So I did have the audio for it, but I didn't have the video. But I'm glad I was able to get the video done for that message. And I know it is a touchy subject. I know that there was a lot of people that were very upset about the food laws. And I got contacted by several people that told me that they had never heard Pastor Peters talk on the food laws, and that he didn't talk on the food laws. And of course, I've heard him talk about it many, many times, and I think that there was some good, very good information in those messages. It was something that we've had people that have written in and asked us to talk about, so we're talking about it, and praise the Lord that we were able to have these messages by Pastor Peters preserved. I am thankful for that. Anyway, I think I had too much coffee this morning. As way of announcements, we did get the Dragon Slayer newsletter shipped out early this last week. So you should be receiving it first within the next couple of days. Hopefully that gets to you with no problems. If it doesn't, if you don't get it by the end of the week, let me know, and I'll get another one sent out to you. And we've had several people that we've been talking about the subject of baptism quite a bit, and had several people that have been ordering those tracts and booklets that we've been offering. So do appreciate that. If anybody would like those, just write to me. You can shoot me an email at jason@sfaw.org or you can write to us at Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535, and I'll make sure and get that sent out to you. Also, we had a longtime member of the extended body of Christ, Mr. Hansford. He passed away earlier this week. And the funeral service was yesterday. Been in contact with his wife. And we were praying for the services yesterday, was not able to attend, but they were doing a small graveside service for him and burying him in Oklahoma. And he was a very, very fine man, a good man that was just one that I really enjoyed getting emails from and talking to when I was able to talk with him. He was just a salt of the earth. Good person, and do ask that you would continue to pray for his wife and the family there, as that they're still going through a lot. But just wanted to let you guys know about that, and we're going to go ahead and go to a song, and we're going to start off with All for One.
Sacrifice on the cross, save us all. Just as sin brought in the fall, Jesus came and gave us his all. He redeemed us all. So let us all give him our all. Come on, sing, one and all.
All for one.
Amen. I sure do like that song. Well, before we pray and go to Brother Zach, I did get a couple calls over the last couple days, and I don't know if you saw the news, but Southern Poverty Law Center is definitely getting investigated, and charges have been made against them. And boy, as soon as I read that, I wished I could have seen the look on Pastor Peter's face. I wish he was here to see that. Southern Poverty Law Center is an organization that attacked this church and this ministry for a long time. And anyway, they got indicted on a bunch of counts of basically funding terrorism, funding the enemy that they were supposed to be warning people about. And I just really put a smile on my face when I seen that. So I just wanted to share that with you. I don't have time to go into it, but maybe next week we'll have some more time and we can talk about that. We do have a message by Brother Zach that's titled is Spiritual Food, and we're going to have that here in just a sec. But before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. And we just ask, Father, as we assemble together here in person and those that gather with us through the internet and DVD church, we pray, Father, that we may be pleasing in your sight. We come before your throne and we come with humility and we come wanting to learn and to seek you in your ways, Lord. We pray that that you use us in a mighty and powerful way to be a blessing to your people and to this nation, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land, and we ask, Father, for people to continue to awaken and turn from their wicked ways and be a blessing to you. We pray, Father, we want to be a pleasing children, good children that love you and honor you and respect you in your ways and reverence you, Lord. And we just pray, Father, that as we assemble, that you purify our hearts and our minds and that allow us to be able to put the cares of the world behind us and focus on you and your kingdom. Lord, we do pray for your kingdom to come. Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing. We thank you for the awakening that we're seeing. We pray, Father, that you just continue it. In Jesus Christ's precious name, we pray, amen. Well, we're going to have the message, Spiritual Food, by Brother Zach, and then we'll be back for communion in just a short little bit.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, April 26, 2026, we here at the La Porte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning. We're glad that you're able to join us, and we begin by reading and defining who Jesus Christ is. And that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's the definition of Jesus Christ. He is the Word that became flesh. And as we read in verse 1, it says, and the Word was God. So in order to know Jesus, you need to know the Word, because that is his thought process. It is his brain, what he's thinking. And I'm referring to the law. So this week is going to be my final thoughts on unclean meat and unclean foods, things that we should not be involved in or taking into our systems. And it is about, now I don't claim to know everything about it, and I don't claim to understand it. But one of the things I am going to say is, if it's what God says, that's the way it is. And granted, I don't understand it fully, what I'm about to say, but the scriptures that I'm going to read to you say that that's the way it's so. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 65. Now, how do I want to put this? Well, I'm just going to begin by reading. Isaiah chapter 65, I'm going to begin by reading in verse 1. Isaiah 65, verse 1. I permitted myself to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I permitted myself to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am. Here I am. To a nation which did not call on my name. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the nation of Israel, the 12 northern tribes, or the 12 tribes of Israel is who he's talking about. If you know your biblical history, they were in Egypt, and, you know, they basically, they're a bunch of complainers and moaners. God hauled them out of Egypt, and, you know, they got out in the desert. Moses was up in the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, and he gets back, and, you know, there Moses finds his brother over there making a golden calf for the sons of Israel to call God. And Israel, if you know the history of Israel, they have a bad habit of being rebellious and following the Baals. And this has been a vicious cycle, and we're in the same thing right now. I mean, just if you know anything about Baal law, and you look at things that are legal in the United States and in the multitude of nations that are actually Israel, as prophesied by God given to Abraham, they love their Baal. They love their Baal worship. They love the easy road. But there is always a time when, you know, it's time to pay the piper, so to speak. And so these people that God's talking about, they didn't look for me. I said, here I am. But, you know, they weren't looking for me. He's talking about Israel. His bride, she's a rebellious bag, always has been, always will be, but there's always a remnant. I continue, verse 2, I have spread my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in the way which is not good, following their own thoughts. So what's God saying here? He's saying, you know, they think they know best. People have a tendency to think, because of the way they've been trained, past experience, that they know the best route to get out of a situation or how to proceed forward, whether to be prosperous or to maneuver through problems, whatever. They always think that their thoughts is the correct way. I'm here to tell you, as a man that's failed at many things, it's just not so. One of the biggest lessons I've learned is to sit back, listen, and let evidence, well, how do I want to say, let the evidence sway my thoughts. Whether it feels right or not, the evidence will basically, hopefully, train the way that I'm going to go. So I hope you guys are like that too. A people who continually provoked me to my face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on bricks, who sit among the graves, spend their the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh, and the broth of unclean meat is in their pots. Now, let me stop right there. Let's back up to verse 3. A people who continually provoke me to my face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense and bricks, who sit among graves and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of unclean meat is in their pots. What this is saying to me is what you put in your mouth, whether you realize it or not, there is a spiritual effect that takes place in someone's body and mindset. You guys just read it with me. What are these people doing? They're offering sacrifices. They're burning incense. What are those things? Those are forms of being obedient to a type of God. And what God says here, when they are eating swine's flesh, he throws that into the same realm as the incense and offering of sacrifices, whether you know it or not. And you might say, man, wannabe preacher, fake tree guy, you're out of your mind. Am I? So if you step back and you look at the foundation of the Judeo-Christian church, the false Christ, the false God, those are the ones that are going to say, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not perform miracles? And God says, I knew you not. What was their problem? He ended up saying, depart from me, you that practice lawlessness. What was their problem? They didn't know that the law was in effect. And what God's saying here, those that put unclean flesh in their mouth, he's throwing that into being obedient to another God. It says it right there. If I'm wrong, let me know. But why would God and why would the prophet Isaiah write that down if God didn't tell him to write it down in that order? Whether you know it or not, those people that heard the words or are going to hear the words, depart from me, I knew you not, it was because of what Hosea said, their lack of knowledge. And what was going on between their ears, what they thought was acceptable behavior, just wasn't so. And then clearly, they were not baptized, as according to Acts 2:38. Nor did they have any respect for the law. When Jesus said, don't think I come to abolish the law. No, I've come to make atonement for it and the prophets. Let's continue. Who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. So these people that do this, they're puffed up. What did we read earlier in this chapter? You know, their mindset tells them that they're okay. Who are you to point out anything that I'm doing wrong? Who are you to, you know, say, you shouldn't be doing that? When God says right here, when you do those things, you know, you're being obedient to another God. I continue. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day. Behold, it is written before me. I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will even repay their own bosom. You do that stuff, it's going to make you sick. I didn't write it down. Jason didn't write it down. Pastor Peters didn't write it down. His prophets wrote it down because they were obedient to his word. And they're in tune with the Spirit. Verse 7. Both their own iniquities and the iniquities of their fathers together, says the Lord, because they have burned incense on the mountains and scorned me on the hills. Therefore, I will measure their former work into their bosom. That's what the prophet Isaiah says about it. He also has other stuff to say. Turn with me to Isaiah, just next chapter over. Let's begin by reading in verse 16 of Isaiah chapter 66. For the Lord will execute judgment by fire, and by his sword, what's the sword? In Ephesians 6, what's the sword? The sword is the word. So when you have the armor of God, the sword is the word of God. So he's saying, I'm going to execute by my sword, by my word. For the Lord will execute judgment by fire and by his sword on all flesh, and those slain by the Lord will be many. Those who sanctify and purify themselves go to the gardens. So what are they saying? They're sanctifying and purifying themselves in the garden. Same situation that was in back in chapter 65. Those who sanctify and purify themselves go to the gardens, and following one into the center, who eat swine's flesh, detestable things, and mice, will come to an end altogether, declares the Lord. Now, I don't know why God is throwing it into a following other gods theme, but he is. It's that important. It's important to our spiritual condition. Why? Me personally, I do not know. But I know he said it, and that's enough for me. Period. Verse 18. For I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues. They shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them and will send survivors from them to the nations of Tarshish, Put, Lud, Meshech, Tabul, Javan, to the distant lands that have neither heard my fame nor my glory, and they will declare my glory among the nations. It's that big a deal to God. You know, all these animals, do I personally have anything against the owl? Do I personally have anything against a pig or a shrimp or a lobster or an ostrich or a vulture? No. God made those animals perfect in their own way. He gave them a job to do. All of those animals that I've mentioned, including the pig, is in the shrimp and the lobster. You know, back in the day, I used to eat shrimp. Tastes good. Now, don't get me wrong. I know what it tastes like. 20 years ago, I had some, or 25, however long it was. Tastes good. But they have their job, and they do it for the glory of the Lord. All those animals that we've spoken, the eagle, the hawk. You know anything about eagles? They eat more dead stuff than you can shake a stick at. The pig. If you just watch them out in the, I mean, you ain't seen a more cannibal animal than you have a pig. If you know anything about them, they have their job. They're not to be farmed and mass-produced. Let them do their job and do is what they're directed to do by what the Lord commanded them to do. They'll do it on their own. But as man in our own thoughts, tastes good, shrimp tastes good, lobster tastes good, pork tastes good. Who's out of line? Who's out of line? We are. We are. It's a big deal to God. Let them do their job, and we're supposed to do our job. If we step out of line, it throws everything out of balance, and the whole thing's screwed up. Everybody's sick. And we know when we violate the law of God that it curses the ground, and the ground will be forced to reject us. That's biblical, too. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Now, earlier this week, or last week, Brother Jason and I were talking, and he kind of gave me this idea, and I think he's right. Genesis chapter 2, start out in verse 16. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely." So the very first commandment that God ever gave man, Adam, was what? A commandment about food. It's the very first one. He puts them in there. He says, all this, you know, all these fruit trees, nut trees, whatever it was, you may have everything. You may eat everything. But the one thing, well, then he's, let's continue in verse 16. "But from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die." So the very first commandment of what God said not to do, you are not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if you do, you will surely die. So the very first commandment that God gave was, what can you not put in your system? And it's from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, you can't eat that. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone, for I will make him a helper suitable for him." Out from the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name. The man gives names to all the cattle and all the birds of the sky and every beast of the field, but for Adam, there is not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in that place. The Lord God fashioned in to a woman the rib which he had taken from man, and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken from man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed." So, right after the first commandment of what you cannot eat, then God formed, made woman, and he said, for this reason, man's going to go to his wife, they'll become one flesh, and They were not ashamed because of their nakedness. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" So notice the question. So the serpent says, you're not supposed to eat from any tree of the garden? It's a loaded question. It's a trick question. You're not supposed to eat from any of them? So he was more crafty. He was more crafty. I believe he was a two-legged serpent. The seed of Satan. That's what he was. Like you, when you read in there, you know, you can see he was not on God's team. There's no question about that. The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat." So she corrects him. "We may eat of the fruit of the trees. But from the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat or touch it, or you will die." So, there you have it. So, Eve knew exactly what was going on. Either you can't eat it or touch it. Now, that isn't, the touching part is added from what the Lord said in chapter 2, but it's kind of irrelevant to where we're going. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die." There's an exclamation point. Like he thinks it's funny. It's laughing. You ain't going to die. That's craziness. "For the Lord knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So what's he saying? He's like, you are going to be just like God. You know, right from wrong. Clearly, they didn't know the difference. The only thing they needed to be was obedient. "The woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delight to the eyes. And the tree was desirable to make one wise. So she took from the fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." So she ate first, and he followed along. One of the weaknesses of men, follow along with the woman. And he ate it too. So here we see they broke the very first commandment, a food law. What is the result? I think you guys all know. Sin entered the world. "Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." So what happened? They saw that they were exposed. Their eyes were opened. Did they drop dead the way one would have might have thought? No. They knew right from wrong at that point. And they had sinned and had entered the world because they ate. Because they disobeyed the commandment of our God. And they could see. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking into the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called out to man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." He had no shame before. Because of the disobedience and the rejection of the commandment of God, He saw he was naked, and he had guilt. Because he could see. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle and more than every beast on the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. So you see there, the serpent has seed. The woman had seed. And there's enmity between them. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. That's why I think the serpent was a two-legged serpent. Because there's a day coming when Jesus died on the cross and he beat sin and bought back his wife and paid for all of our sins with the perfect sacrifice. But we still have that knowledge of good and evil. And when we disobey that knowledge, we are in sin. We know better. What did Adam say? Or what did God say to Adam? Who told you you were naked? He didn't know before. Why? Because of what he put in his system that God told him not to do. So, what if God tells you not to put something in your system? It's a big deal. Does it have the ability to change you spiritually? We can see here with the story of Adam and Eve, obviously, because of what they put into their system, because of what they accepted, because of their disobedience to the Lord God. If he says don't do it, don't get mad. It's for your own good. If everybody else around you is doing it, doesn't mean you have to. If you want to go with the flow, go with the flow. That's your deal. If you want to believe God and actually think, hey, you know, this is affecting me, my physical health, spiritually, mentally, it makes me disobedient. If you don't care, then you know, that's your deal. I'm not going to. To the woman, he said, I will multiply your pain of, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain, you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. So that's the consequence of her eating from it during childbirth, much pain. Your husband's going to rule over you. What do we have today nowadays? Women, they don't want to believe that. They think that they're well. Most men are a bunch of Nancys anyway, so I wouldn't follow most of them across the mud puddle. But the point is, you know, they're designed to be led. So men, be good leaders. Men, be obedient in the small things and in the great things. It's a big deal to be a just ruler, husbands. Then Adam said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By your sweat of your face, you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So did they die? Yep, they died. They got a bunch of curses and punishment laid on them and us because of what? They disobeyed, and they ate what they weren't supposed to. That's how it all started. It all started that way. Because of disobedience and eating. Not respecting the word of the Lord. That's it. How do you get out from underneath it? You have to follow God's plan. You have to, like what we read every single Sunday morning, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. You got to know your Bible. You have to know what he says is okay to do and what's not okay to do. You have to follow his biblical plan of salvation. If you're an Israelite, you should know your biblical history and get out from underneath the curse of death. How do you do that? Turns me to Acts chapter 2. Start in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, each of you, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is how you get out from underneath those curses. Repent and be baptized. And then continue to grow in the grace. There's still grace there. Because you're supposed to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord, the Word. The reason why the grace is there is because of your lack of knowledge. Just like I said back in Genesis, the ground's cursed because of the disobedience of two people. Sin curses the ground. So if God says, don't eat it, I'm not going to. But as you grow in the grace and knowledge, you should be constantly repenting, would stop doing certain things, and changing your direction and get it more in line with the Word of God. So that way we can be acceptable. You can be acceptable. Verse 39. The promise is for you and your children, and for who all are far off, as many as the Lord will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. If you're going to be saved from this perverse generation, that means you are different. That means you and I are obedient to the best of our abilities, to the amount of knowledge of the Word that we have. So it all starts there. Be obedient or not? Submit the light yoke that Jesus gives us or the heavy one? It's my choice. It's each and every one of you out there's choice. I can't make you. You can't make me. The only thing I can do is control myself. The only thing you can do is control yourself. It's called be disciplined. The Lord disciplines those that he loves. Are we going to accept it or not? Whether it's what we eat, which, I mean, in most people's minds, it's a very little thing. Not according to the scriptures we just read. It's kind of a big deal. Why that is, like I said, I don't know. I mean, that's God's deal. But he said don't do it, so I'm not going to do it. Now, if I had been working on somebody, teaching them the Israel truth, and I get a point, and if they were to invite me over and if they had a pork chop or a tenderloin and they offered it to me, would I eat it? I would probably eat a little bit because I wouldn't want to offend them because of their lack of knowledge. I'm not going to sit there and say, I'm holier than you. My job is to convert people. My job is to teach people and to get them to walk in a straighter path. Is it right? I mean, I'm not going to be rude. Would I like it? No. I'm just saying, that's me personally. I don't want to look like a jerk. I don't like hanging around jerks. I've been beat over the head long enough in my life. I have for you guys today. For those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that message. Spiritual food. And as we prepare our minds for communion, to have the real spiritual food, we are going to go ahead and start off with a song. And this one is His Land Will Be Healed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and his land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill. God's just will prevail o'er his land and his hills. False prophets and preachers, they'll run for the hills. Your lies have been uncovered, your deceptions revealed. Oh, and my heart fills with gladness when I hear the sound of your pulpits being cleansed and made into holy ground. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and his land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill. God's justice will prevail o'er his land and his hills. God's truth and justice, his laws will prevail, and the snakes and the tares will be sent to hell. New judges will be appointed, Jesus will be king. Our days will be joyous as his praises we sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill. The sun will rise up and his land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill. God's justice will prevail o'er his land and his hills. For climbing the hill, you
God's word to fulfill. Sin and death you defeated, paid the price for our sin, so we could repent, be baptized and cleansed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and his land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill. God's truth will prevail o'er his land and his hills. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and his land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill. God's justice will prevail o'er his land and his hills. God's justice will prevail o'er his land and his hills.
Amen. I like that song. Well, and as I was preparing for communion this morning, I wrote down a lot of scriptures, and I know that I'm not going to have time to get through all of them, but I'd like to start off with Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed by iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And, you know, I thought about it is you know, as listening to Pastor Peter's messages and Lynn listening to Brother Zach's message, you know, we've got they're talking about things that were commanded, and it's interesting to me about how, you know, how important food was to God. And I like the thought. I thought it was interesting, but you know, just thinking about the first sin being eating of a forbidden fruit. And, you know, it just kind of puts into perspective about how important food is to God. And, you know, as we are preparing to drink of the blood and eat is what we are commanded to eat. And it's, I wrote down here just a couple of notes, but it's this is a covenant. It's an act of remembrance. It's an act of obedience. And it's a proclamation. And we're commanded to do this. We are commanded to eat of it. Today we gather not for a ritual, not for a tradition, but in obedience to the command of our King Jesus Christ. In a world that bows to earthly powers, corrupt systems, and false authority, we stand as a people who declare no king but King Jesus. And our King gave us a command, clear, direct, and everlasting. We are to eat of his body and drink of his blood. It's not optional. It's not a symbolic tradition alone. But it is that covenant. It's that remembrance. It's out of obedience. Luke 22:20 says, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, it's the new covenant in my blood. Jesus did not say, consider this. He said, do this. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, for I received from the Lord which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Every time we take communion, we are doing more than remembering. We are proclaiming his death. We are declaring his covenant. And we are standing in allegiance to our true King. We partake today. Let us remember. And let us do it out of obedience. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne today to do just as your scripture says, do this in remembrance of you. We remember you. We remember the price that was paid. And we thank you, Father, for taking our curses, taking the stripes that were due to us, taking those lashes that were due for me, taking our sicknesses and our diseases. Lord, we are grateful and we are humbled by this. Come before you, Lord. We ask that you forgive us of our sins, known and unknown. And we ask, Father, that you continue to reveal the sins in our lives. Help us to purge them from our lives. Help us to be better husbands, better fathers, better children, better stewards. We pray, Father, that whatever role that we have in our lives, that we can do a better job this week than we did last week. Lord, we pray that we may be pleasing in your sight, that we can be a blessing. We pray, Father, that you make that transformation in us as we partake. As we do, we come out of obedience. Lord, if we are putting things into our body and we're eating things that we shouldn't, we ask, Father, that you reveal that to us and help us to know what is good and what is bad, what is clean. Lord, thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. You may partake.